Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Mark from Guitar Nerds here, letting you know that this week's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/guitar nerds. They've got over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle or MP3 player. But the one I'm going to recommend this week is Down the Highway by Howard Sounds, which is a look at the life and work of Bob Dylan. audibletrial.com/guitar nerds for a 30-day free trial and credit for one free audiobook. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Guten Tag.
I've almost forgotten how to do that. We've been away for so long over Christmas.
I almost forgot
what the beginning of the podcast actually was, but I'm glad I remembered.
It's got to be the longest we've been without doing one.
I think so, for probably about 4 years, yeah. Ugh,
I wish I could have been away from it as long as you guys have.
What
are you talking about?
Well, because I had to do the Branton rant on with you.
You did. We'll get
during our downtime.
We'll get round to that shortly.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm just saying.
Good. You know. Well, we can talk about it shortly. Happy New Year to everyone watching live on YouTube, or if you're listening to this on catch up on your on the podcast app or one of a similar podcatcher. Hello to you as well. Joe Branton is waving for the camera. I hope you had a good 2017 or end of 2016,
yeah,
beginning of 2017.
No one's had a good 2017. Nothing's happened.
No, we're about a week in. But yeah, because of the way the days fell, we've had about 3 weeks off. And I think it's been quite a good rest. Loads of stuff got announced while we were away.
It did. It's funny, actually. After On New Year's Eve, I think it was, I came around to your house, Mark, and we were both like, oh, haven't seen each other in like 10 days.
I know, that was weird.
Happened in...
yeah, that was...
Other than when one of us has been on holiday, and by that I mean
you.
Me, I don't think we've been that long without seeing each other probably 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. Matt Knight, how was your Christmas and Ting?
It was great. The first one outside of retail.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
Living the dream.
Yeah, days off.
So it was nice to not have to go to work the day after Boxing Day.
I bet.
Or for the entire of Christmas, think about the day after Boxing Day.
Yeah, completely.
Or January.
That's the thing. It's difficult, isn't it? Because like, working on the shop floor was... You sort of... My family would always be like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, it's good. You've got a little bit of time off now, haven't you? In the run-up, like Christmas, I don't have any time off, actually. I've got today off and I've got tomorrow off and then I'm back to work.
Yeah.
And everyone was always like, oh, it's Christmas. It's great, isn't it? And you're like, this is like genuinely the worst time of year.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So being out of the shop and in a job where, you know, you don't really have to worry about essentially ruining somebody's Christmas.
Yeah.
Because that was always the big worry, is that you get someone in who'd be like, well, you said that this guitar was going to be here and it's your fault that it's not.
Or like,
you've ruined...
you know, I've bought the wrong thing. You know, it's not always completely. Like, you know, sometimes it's the customer's fault, sometimes it's the retailer's fault. But yeah, that is the worst thing over Christmas where, yeah, I guess now you don't have to worry about it too much. So Matt, you look like you bought some new toys over Christmas. I wanted to quickly... just discuss the things that you got.
Yeah, I bought the other two remaining rack units in the original trilogy of effects units, and that is the Line 6 Echo Pro and Mod Pro.
Yes.
They sound they sound amazing. They, like, I forgot how good the DL4 actually sounded because it's been a while since I had one. But I'm sure there's something different in these compared to the pedal versions and the M5 and the M, well, the M series, like the M5, M9.
What do you think's better?
I think they might have slightly better analog to digital converters, but I'm not sure. I'm going to email Line 6 and ask them, because imagine there's something about them that sounds very different.
Imagine your ears being that developed.
No, but I think it's with that early digital stuff. I mean, I guess a lot of it is about the, I'll say early digital stuff, but that kind of, you know, that the start of the modelling era and the start of doing things like the DL4. A lot of it was about the quality of the analog to digital converters. Having said that, the DL4 that I bought recently, I'm absolutely loving and I think sounds really good. So I'm keen to hear yours, Matt.
It's funny really, because as soon as I plugged it in, it instantly felt more creative with it than I had with the Timeline for the last 12 months.
Wow, really?
I think I'd stuck with like one or two presets on the Timeline.
Yeah,
but straight away the Echo Pro just sounded so much more musical, and like the repeats and the way it kind of like oscillates sounded like more natural. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's just in my head or whether it generally does sound better. I was actually watching a video on YouTube and someone was saying it almost doesn't matter about the processing power and the bitrate, because if it's got a terrible analog to digital converter in it, it won't do anything. It won't sound as good. So I'm wondering whether these pros, because they've got balanced line in and line out, so they've got stereo XLR in and stereo XLR out, whether the converters are slightly different.
Matt, are you running the balanced ins and outs on there?
No,
you're not, because I can imagine, because you've got the all three of them. Wait, have you got three or two? You've got all three, right?
Yeah.
I can imagine you running those in a balanced setup, like between the units.
That'd be ridiculous. I don't know how I'd plug it into an amp, because I suppose I could go XLR to jack. But
yeah, across two.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you've got that coming out stereo. I take it into two amps.
Yeah, and because it's all MIDI, it's that the ES8 makes it nice and easy, makes it nice and creative. And I'm really tempted to just A/B it with like an M9 or an M13 and just see, because I'm sure when I had an M5, it didn't sound, the delay models didn't sound as nice as this.
Yeah, I mean, that's potentially, if they're still using like similar chipset and they're still using the same sounds, that's potentially where the difference could be. It's the analog to digital converters, I guess.
Yeah. Really nice. It sounds really nice. Just been messing around with it. The Mod Pro is really nice. It's the only one I've never actually owned.
Okay.
I think I had a distortion modeler at one point, although I don't think I ever had the amp modeler.
As if you had the distortion modeler.
Yeah, I think I paid like nothing for it at some point, and I think I got it in like a trade. But
how rare are those amp modelers now? Because that was the one that basically no one bought, because it was just the amp section.
The AM4. I never see them for sale. The AM4.
Terrible.
And the other thing I bought, which had arrived today, but I couldn't make it into work today because of the tube strikes, so it's sitting on my desk, I managed to find a Boss DC2.
Okay.
What's that?
Oh, is that the Dimension Chorus rack?
That's the Dimension D. The DC2 is the Stompbox version of the rack, so just four buttons.
The coolest
looking of all the Boss pedals. Pink, and it's got four buttons on it, and that's it.
Sorry, buttons?
Yeah,
not
just
rotaries.
Four switches. No, right. Just four switches, like four click buttons.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, they're quite a mad pedal. So you're going to integrate that into the setup as well. So it's all being controlled by the ESA, I take it.
Yeah. Yeah,
you are an absolute madman.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
I'll put a picture up, actually. I don't think I've put a picture up of all of it standing together, because now with the racks on top of one of my amps with the space arc on top, I've got like three stacks that are all of equal height. It looks ridiculous.
Ridiculous indeed.
The ungiggable rig.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
Rig. What's going on in the chat?
People are just saying that they're really glad that we're back.
Wow,
which is nice.
Good,
it's
good.
Really cool.
We look like we're at a wake.
Yeah, well, I realise that we're all wearing black, or like on the front cover of that Beatles album where everything's black and white. Beatles for Sale.
Sergeant Pepper.
No, with the Beatles.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
Yeah, that really colourful album cover where none of them were wearing black.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that okay. one, definitely. J. Cross, did you do any guitar stuff over Christmas?
I did bits and bobs.
Okay.
I didn't get any guitar-related stuff for Christmas, but I did play a lot of guitar, a lot more than I've been playing recently.
How is the scratch plate hunt going?
Well, see...
What do you call him?
Yeah, so that's something that I would like to throw out to the room, and by the room I mean the people's ears who are listening to this. What I really want is a custom. It's a bit difficult because I want a custom shape scratch plate. I want a scratch plate for my offset Telecaster, which isn't the same as it's not the same shape as the Warmoth Jazz Telemasters.
Yeah,
so it needs to be slightly different to that. And I can't find anywhere that does it as standard. But also, to make things more difficult, is I want it in a like pastel pink, an ocean pink or a shell pink, something that will match Matt's Les Paul. Because I just think it will look really cool if we've got, in our videos, we've got that the aesthetic running through.
Yeah.
I think that'll be really cool. And I just can't find anywhere. There was a couple of people who pointed me towards... Is it WD, Matt? Was that?
Yeah.
WD Music.
WD-40. Yeah. And they suggested... I looked on there, but the pink on there is like really bright. And it's not right. It will look bad.
It's a pink mirror as well, I think. Oh, so I don't want that.
Now you got me interested. Will they cut me a P-bass plate in pink mirror?
What, to go on your... Yeah. To go on your... Or in your
No, don't get a scratch plate that covers the entire front of the body.
Yes, that's what I want. A guitar glove.
I do...
that's what I'm into.
I should say, really, everyone should check out that website. wdmusic.com or .co.uk. They literally have every scratch plate for every guitar model under the sun, yeah, and everything right. from normal to absolutely ridiculous.
Mirror pink, I'm into it.
But they don't have shell pink plates.
No,
but and
they
that's
have any pink.
They do have mirror pink.
But I don't want that. What I want is because listen, I'm all about keeping the aesthetic running through. I want to keep the brand. I want to keep us on brand.
Yes,
it's important. Otherwise, people are going to start looking at they're getting their guitar news and their reviews elsewhere.
Yeah, if we don't keep it pink.
Well,
that's
mean,
what we need to do.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm really looking for. And if anybody has any ideas, or alternatively, if anybody wants to make me one, I don't know, maybe I'll buy it off you or we'll give you some...
We'll do a shout-out, basically. If someone
do a shout-out or maybe give you the Patreon. For, I don't know, we'll do something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, come on. Maybe not. Some free
but
stuff.
We'll, if anybody... Basically, if anyone can point me in the direction of... where I can get a shell pink scratch plate for an offset telly, a 2016 offset telly, that would be really good. So that's what I've been doing a lot of that. And other than that, I think a lot of what I've done anyway is just sort of planning for this.
So much stuff to talk about. First off, let's talk to Joe Branton first about his Christmas, and then we'll talk about Guitar Nerds in 2017.
Yeah.
JB, yes. Did you manage to squeeze in any guitar stuff over Christmas?
There was plenty of guitar stuff. New Year's was especially guitar-y because I went to a big sort of all-day gig in Bristol.
Okay.
At the Exchange and the Stag and Hounds. There was a big, like, math...
New Year's festival type thing.
Punk and...
Don't say punk. It wasn't punk.
It was proper punk. Like, unlike the sort of weird, like, naff pop music that you do, it was actual sort of proper
like
punk.
McCluskey or something.
McCluskey is actually sort of... closer to a definition of what punk is
awful.
Than what you do, but we saw them and a band called Twisted Ankle, who were like a proper a proper punk band. They were
that's
really
the
really good.
That's a great
really
one
good.
To the, that's a great one to portmanteau.
Yeah,
what?
Twisted Twankle.
No, that's a spoonerism.
Oh right,
a
yeah.
portmanteau is where you take two words and put them into one. Twisted Ankle.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Twankle,
yeah.
Good.
Twankle,
that's
little star.
That's my new band.
Yeah, I saw there was
Hello
some...
Springfield, we are Twankle.
Oh man. Yeah, I saw some really good bands. I was really surprised at McCluskey's like pro setup. Considering
did McCluskey actually play?
Yeah.
Oh right, okay. I was just talking about the sort of rubbish bands that
you
listen
to. Oh no, it was a secret show.
Oh,
it was
right,
like
okay.
a get together show. It wasn't full McCluskey because they're bass players.
You never go
not
full McCluskey.
Them. No, exactly. So they had, because of course the McCluskey then became Future of the Left afterwards. So it was actually the front guy's wife, who is the bass player in Future of the Left. She played bass for McCluskey, which was great because she's very pregnant. So I thought she did a very good job at throwing herself around the stage and playing aggressive punk rock for an hour.
Yeah, that sounds horrendous.
Yeah, it was really good. Her P-bass sound was amazing.
Okay. Yeah, solid. I mean, P-basses do sound amazing. Plenty of gear on display. Did you get anything yourself or do anything yourself over Christmas that relates to the guitars?
Well, other than us, you know, you came around the other day and saw my ever-growing Idol pedal collection.
I did. You've rearranged one of the rooms in your house to accommodate basically essentially what is like an old man chair for you to sit in and literally surround yourself with pedal boards.
Yes.
Was there four pedal boards in there?
Yeah, including my actual one that I gig with, yes.
It's ridiculous.
It's funny because I think you've actually got more pedals than me, Joe.
Probably.
But I just have a more ridiculous guitar setup.
Yeah, my actual setup is relatively like a tuner, a compressor, an octave, a drive, a vibrato, a phaser, a looper, a preamp.
So it's a bit excessive, is what
you're
saying?
No, that's pretty minimal.
it's a reverb
and an analog delay, but that's pretty minimal. Whereas the other boards that I have...
For bass, that is quite ridiculous.
No, not really at all.
But having said that, I was quite shocked how restrained your board is when I saw it yesterday. But the other boards around it... I mean, there's at least three pedal boards around this like grumpy old man chair that you've got. And then everywhere I looked in that room, it was like, there's a shelf. There's more pedals up there.
Yeah.
You've definitely got more pedals than
loads of stuff. I've got loads of money tied up in pedals, I think. I've got some good old ones as well. Like a proper old Ibanez AD9.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, it's a good pedal.
I didn't even see that on one of the boards.
No, well, because I've got so many analog delays. Because I've got the DM2W, which is currently on my board. I think that is probably the best one.
Yeah.
But of course, the Carbon Copy, which is brilliant. I don't think anything... not even the DM2W does that sort of dive bomby thing quite like the Carbon Copy. I think that is really brilliant for that sort of thing. And then I got the AD9 and the Ibanez's new one, the Mini, the analog delay Mini. I got that to kind of AB the two because they're so cheap, aren't they? Like £70 a really essentially a smaller version of the AD9. They're not quite the same.
No, they sound okay.
But they're pretty good. For £70, they're
definitely. Definitely. I think we put that in our top five beginners pedals or something.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've been doing a lot of rearranging, fitting stuff in.
M9, really enjoying the M9 at the moment.
Yeah.
Keep thinking about putting it on my board.
I didn't even know that you had one of those.
I only bought it recently. But reluctant to have anything digital on my board.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, the M5 that you saw doesn't really work. It just glitches on and off.
Sounds perfect for your band.
That makes me concerned about actually using an M9.
Well, I mean, it's only as likely to break as anything else. It will just break in a different way.
True.
So, the reason that I was around your house yesterday looking at your vast pedal collection is that we did a bit of recording yesterday. And there's a lot of news to talk about this week, so we're going to wrap this up. This intro section up fairly quickly, but one thing I want to talk about is things that we're doing in 2017. And one of the things that we're doing is expanding our offering on the Patreon side of things, patreon.com/guitar nerds. We won't push it too much, but we'll just tell you what's going on in there.
I guess we should start at the bottom.
So, three tiers on Patreon, which is how it's always been. The $1 tier has previously been... thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for doing the show. Here's a dollar. What we're now going to do is put up an ad-free version of that. Because we on the main feed of the podcast, we are going to run some ads in the front end. Some nice deals for you guitar nerds. But if you want to opt out of that, you can do. At the $1 a month tier, you can get the podcast early and ad-free. At $5 a month...
Also with the $1... We're going to be...
Full show notes.
Yeah, there's going to be show notes, which is something that's been requested a few times. And the first time we were like, who cares? Nobody cares. And then someone else was like, oh, actually, yeah, I'd really like the show notes. And we were like, you're losers. And then a few more people were like, actually, I'd quite like the show notes. And we were like, actually, maybe it would be quite interesting.
Yeah.
So I've got a pad and a pen, and I'm spinning my pen... whilst writing notes.
But it does take a little bit of time and stuff to write that all up, so that'll be going on the Patreon side of things. $5 will get you the extra half an hour every every week that we've always done. But also, the reason I was around your house yesterday, Joe Branton, is we recorded the first six episodes of Branton's Ranton.
Yes.
The hot series that everyone listening to this podcast has been raving about, shouting out for. And
you better believe it.
The first episode went live on there yesterday.
Did it?
Five more of those to come up.
Oh, my goodness.
And then
more later in the year as well.
And then more later in the year. Two seasons a year of Branton's Ranton.
And it's going to get, as I run out of more obvious topics, they're going to get more extreme.
It started slow yesterday. And if you've heard episode one, you will know that it was quite ranty. It ramps up by the end. By the time we're hitting episode six, the rant is real.
Yeah.
The rant is full on.
And through the mic.
The rant is real. So yeah, more stuff like that. And also we're going to be dropping some interviews into that channel as well. So Jay did an interview with Cynthia Schemmer.
Yep, Cynthia Schemmer from She Shreds, the managing editor of She Shreds magazine, which you've probably heard us talk about a lot. It was really cool. She was in Brighton last week, so Mark and I popped over to the show. We did an interview with Cynthia. That was really cool. Really interesting. She's really like super, super interesting.
Yeah. So all of that goes in the $5 tier, and at $10, as always, you get all that and your name read out as an executive producer at the end of each Guitar Nerds podcast. Although that tier is full at the moment because we don't want too long a list of names to read out.
No.
So anyway, that is us shilling. That's all the shilling.
That's all
for
the shilling
now.
We're doing.
Just wanted to let you know
that
changes are happening to the Patreon.
I hope
and,
you got through it okay.
If you heard an ad at the start of this episode, you know, take up the nice offers that are there. But if you want to opt out of that, there is now the $1 tier on Patreon to let you do so before you get too angry.
Yeah.
Too angry about the ads.
It's basically, it's just got to the point where
Joe's moustache needs.
So.
Well, I mean, more seriously, it's more that we just sort of don't want to lose money doing this anymore.
I don't mind losing money. It's just that Joe's gigantic booze habit is meaning we're losing a lot of money.
That's
and
true.
Someone needs to reimburse for that. So anyway, yeah, so things coming to Patreon. The other thing that we talk about quickly before we dive into the news is if you ordered Guitar Nerds merch last year, Joe Branton has finally, it's taken him a whole new year to ship the merch out.
Sorry, everyone.
Most of the merch is gone now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's all gone.
Well, there was an order placed today, so that's not gone yet.
Okay.
Oh, gee, honestly.
I'm getting behind. Oh,
today?
You should have seen the poor look on, because I was doing it with my Hermes, which I think is a terrible name. I mean, that sounds like a venereal disease. But I was using them, and they've got like a drop-off point at the local co-op, and so I did like these sort of 20 orders and took them down thinking I'd just hand them over. And the poor guy had to hand write notes for every single one of them. There was only one guy serving. There was a massive queue behind me. I felt really bad.
Yeah, you've ruined it. You've ruined people's co-op experience.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you did order merch, that should be out to you straight away. And just wanted to let you know that's happening. So yeah, all good. Please post pictures of your mugs and t-shirts in the Facebook group. Pictures of Joe. He's the ultimate mug. Anyway, while we've been away, there's been some very, very exciting news.
Loads of news.
So should we dive into the news?
Yeah, yeah. But also, NAMM is like nearly upon us.
I know, when we're going to be under an avalanche of news.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I think all the big companies getting stuff out of the way first. So
yes.
Let's dive into the news.
News.
I've missed that. I've really missed it.
I haven't missed it at all.
I've missed it a lot.
In fact, I forgot about it, and when it started, I was really disappointed that it was still going.
Well, it is.
So, shall we kick off with a whole new bunch of guitars announced by Squire over the Christmas break basically all offsets.
Holy moly.
Jay Cross, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure. So, they've dropped a bunch of really cool-looking things.
Yeah,
it's really exciting. We'll start at the bottom, and I say the bottom and I only mean that in terms of price. So they have brought out a Affinity Series Jazzmaster HH. Now, we talked about this very briefly and very timidly maybe like 3 or 4 months ago.
Oh, because there was a weird picture that emerged.
Something appeared on a Fender stand at a guitar show in Australia, I think it was, and there was all sorts of rumours about what it was. And I don't think it was in this colour, but it doesn't matter. Mm. So they they've released a super cheap, super cool looking Jazzmaster HH, which is essentially is kind of like a I think it's they've taken the popularity of like the Jim Root Jazzmaster and done an affordable version of that, because the Jim Root Jazzmaster is, I think they're 1500 quid or something like that.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
They're a lot of money. So this is just an Affinity Series guitar, but you've got humbuckers there instead of the standard Jazzmaster, you know, flat single coils. It looks absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They come in white or black.
It also means you get like a sensible bridge on it by
yeah, absolutely,
this as well.
Absolutely.
They're a hardtail bridge, are they?
Yeah. This one is. Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. Not all of them are, but this one is. And the other thing that that I think is really good about it is it has, so that the Affinity series kind of gets trashed a little bit because it's, you know, the cheap.
It's the entry point into Squire.
This is sub £200.
Yeah, but they're good guitars.
For what they are, definitely.
That the sparkle pink Strat that I bought is that, last year. It's Affinity, yeah, yeah.
And is it an unfinished neck?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Affinities, is they tend to have that unfinished neck, which is really cool, really exciting. I popped into a guitar shop earlier this week in the hope that they would have it, and you don't. I realise that was wishful thinking.
Yeah,
but I really think this is going to be a genuine contender for Gear of the Year.
Straight off the bat.
Honestly, I'm telling you, because...
Well, I actually think the other Affinity is the contender. Why don't you tell people about that?
Okay.
Because this is truly a completely revolutionary...
I can't remember which one it is.
You had it. Yeah.
Oh, that's a Bullet. Oh, yeah, I didn't even...
Right. It's not Affinity, but it's Bullet.
So there's also a... So moving on, yeah. We've got a Bullet Mustang HH.
Yeah.
115 quid.
What?
What?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Are you sure that's not the not the cost price that you've got
I'm
wrong?
Sure, because it's on our site. Or 118
Bullet
maybe.
Strats used to be £99, didn't they?
Yeah, but this is two humbucker Mustang. Like,
yeah. How cool is that? What? How cool is that? You can get it in blue or black. It's a weird blue. It's it's more like, you know, those actual budget colours that Mustangs originally came
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like that, but yeah.
Is it really that cheap?
I'm sure it is. Yeah, but by all means, check whilst we're casting. Yeah. But I'm sure it's 100. I could not believe it.
Oh, it does. It says it there. 120 quid.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
That's
I know. I know madness. Because I was writing. I was writing a mail shot to announce it, and I was like, oh, I better put some finance options on these. And then I was like, oh, this is.
No, you can't do you finance
to,
on it.
Yeah, you have to pay £250 to get finance.
They're too cheap.
It was too cheap for finance.
So we've got an HH Jazzmaster, an HH Bullet Mustang.
So another one, which I think is probably going to be up there in terms of like a popular guitar. Maybe not a Gear of the Year contender, but a new baritone Squire in a finish that isn't quite as esoteric, let's put it that way. A black.
Why, what was there before?
The Antigua.
Antigua. That's the only baritone you can get from Squire, is the Antigua Jazzmaster, which I think is brilliant.
I liked, but yeah.
I thought it's very hated Marmite, Antigua. Though,
I'm not a huge fan of it, but I thought it was a cool guitar.
It's the worst colour ever.
No, you're a fool.
Wrong.
But what it did need to do is
delete your account,
they needed to do that guitar in another finish as well. And that's what they've done here. And as far as I can tell, it's you know, similar. I don't know if it's the exact same guitar, but...
The other one did have block inlays as well.
It has got the...
Oh. It's definitely got the
block. I was just actually having a look at the spec. Apparently, they come tuned A to A.
What?
30-inch scale length.
It does say that, tuned A to A.
30-inch scale length?
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in between a bass 6 and a baritone.
Yeah.
That's... amazing.
Wow.
I'm
okay.
so into this.
That's a weird guitar. That's weird. But do we think
Duncan
it is...
Duncan designed JM101B single coil for their own Eco 5 magnets.
It does hold
a 30-inch scale is the scale length on a bass 6.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. What weird guitar. What else have they announced?
So there's two more. There's a deluxe Jazzmaster, so like a sort of a more... kind of more standard Jazzmaster, hardtail, or one with a trem.
Yeah.
And this looks, the aesthetics look very much like the J Mascis, which I think since the Matt Freeman has been discontinued, I think the J Mascis has re-established itself as the best guitar that you can buy from Squire.
Yeah.
I think that the Matt Freeman definitely threw it off that mantle for a little bit, but now that that's gone for some bananas reason that I can own,
because they realised that people were buying the Freeman over the 50s.
I don't think so. I think it's probably got more something to do with image rights, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's usually, or they just end the deal a lot of times.
Yeah, for sure. It was probably a 5-year deal or something like that. Yeah. And you know, maybe Rock and Roll Relics. I bet a Rock and Roll Relics Matt Freeman comes out.
I very much doubt
I
that,
bet but. You I bet you a Rock and Roll Relics Matt Freeman comes out. But yeah, going back to this, there's two new Jazzmasters, one with a hardtail, one with a tremolo. A little bit more money. They're pushing $350.
But Candy Apple Red with a gold anodized scratch plate
is wicked.
Great.
What I really love is the high quality photos that Fender have released with it, where on one of them they've done it with the flash on and one with the flash off, so the guitars look completely different,
right?
But they are actually the same,
and they're both Candy Apple Red.
Both Candy Apple Red.
Strange that the colour options are so limited though.
But I guess that's one of the ways that they, you know, to a certain degree, that's one of the ways that they keep the price down. You know, it's the economies of scale.
It's nice to see bridges that aren't gonna crap out though on
completely, because that was always a problem with the Vin Mod Jaguars and Jazzmasters. I had one of the Jaguars. Yeah. Didn't you have one as well?
You've got one now.
Yeah, I've got one now.
Yeah, you've got a Jazzmaster, don't you? Yeah,
Emma's
got a Jazzmaster.
Jaguar. It's a Jaguar.
Is it? Oh, yeah. I thought it was. And you had to change the bridge. It got to the point, like when I was selling them, it got to the point where I was just like, listen, when people were coming in, I would say like, look, you've got to buy this bridge. I know it's a pain. It's £25. I'll install it for free, because the guitar would come back otherwise.
Yeah.
Like so I would give them £50 worth of work for free, because otherwise they would come back and complain. And it was those guitars were almost amazing. Almost amazing.
They needed some work.
They just needed, and it looks like they've addressed that with this. So I'm really excited. Those two, especially the Affinity Jazzmaster and the Bullet Mustang. I'm really, really excited to see those, because that Mustang at £120.
It does seem bonkers, and it's like the perfect guitar, really, because you know the offset thing is so in fashion at the moment. Particularly for like young players and stuff, you know, don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, but want to get a guitar that looks like, you know, what they're. I mean, I was about to try and name a popular band, but I mean, that is ridiculous. I have no idea, but I know that like shoegazy stuff is popular
what?
At the moment.
Go on, give it.
Well, I know like Beach House, that's like a shoegazy band.
Yeah. I don't think they're that
popular. But they're not popular anymore. I don't know
Beach House because Leland Palmer is in the video.
Yeah, I did. No, that's not why I know them.
Okay.
But
anyway,
I don't know any popular bands, but I know a lot of them are playing Mustangs.
Yeah,
and so that's a cool little thing for £120.
I hadn't realised how cheap it was. That's absolute bananas. Absolutely bananas.
Wow, unbelievable. There's been a lot of other gear released. Who wants to tackle the? Let's talk about the new ESPs, Matt. Is that something that you know about?
Yeah, I was just doing a little bit of reading on it. I suppose it's always difficult when we talk about like ESP, because it's not necessarily our brand of choice considering the kind of guitar players that we are. And they've made quite a few not weird choices, but they've made a lot of changes in the last like 2 or 3 years about E2.
Yeah, the
E2
series.
ESP.
So the current line of series, can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so I think, is it LTD?
Yeah.
ESP and E2. So E2 is like
the top
super high end one.
Yeah.
ESP is like their middle range one, and LTD is their cheaper Korean.
Or is it the other way round? Isn't it ESP,
no,
then E2, then LTD?
Yeah, sorry, E2 is the
mid-level one.
They're like the mid-level one, aren't they?
Yes.
But funnily enough, there's loads of like mid-level LTD stuff still.
Yeah.
There's loads of high quality LTD. So it's still, they changed this range to try and make it clearer And they haven't at all.
No.
Because it seems to be LTD that always jumps out of its bracket.
Do you mean the Japanese guitar company, like, obscuring, like, where their models actually sit in the range by not actually giving them a name and just calling them some weird barcode? Yeah, we see that a lot. So, Matt, what have they done over Christmas?
Well, I'm just going to pick out a couple of, like, my personal highlights, the guitars that I kind of like the most. The Sparrowhawk, which is the Bill Kellier from Mastodon signature.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically, looks like a old Gibson RDE artist.
It looks like a Numberverse Firebird, surely.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which is, it's that sort of like weird Gibson-y offset sort of shape. Hardtail, weird colour. It's like it's green Silverburst.
It's great.
Which is basically like an aged Silverburst.
Gold hardware.
With EMGs and gold hardware. I think
great.
Maybe it would have looked slightly nicer with chrome hardware, but that's just me. They've also got a new 7-string with Evertune Bridge as standard, which is quite a big thing. I mean, Evertune was one of those things that is sort of taking off in the background.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
There was a couple of guitars that have been fitted with it as standard, but they're a weird bridge to try and get used to because they have to have like a really precise setup.
Really important sort of mechanical progression. One of the only things that's kind of that is an advancement for guitars, I think, that's worked.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That we've had and is actually a really useful thing for. I mean, I think because it was the first person to have it, Ben Wyman.
I was the first guitar that it came on a standard.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And certainly, I think he was the perfect
BW01. I think it was
probably.
Yeah,
but he was the perfect example of someone who needed an Evertune bridge, and it's just exactly that sort of thing. If you don't change your tunings during your set, and you throw yourself and or your guitar around a lot, then it is absolutely perfect. It's an aggressive player's dream bridge.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, how do you iterate on a hardtail? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's only so many things you can do to
completely.
It. And making one that makes your guitar not go out of tune is probably the ultimate upgrade, isn't it? So, go on then, Matt. Pick out some other stuff.
It's weird. If they kind of don't get set up properly, though, like, you can't bend.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Strings,
yeah,
like
yeah,
if you
yeah.
do like a semitone bend, it doesn't actually move. It's
very
really
weird.
Odd.
Yeah.
Head from Korn has moved to ESP.
What?
And
after like
signature.
30 years of Ibanez.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, you know, one of the guys that helped like bring 7-string to the mainstream has moved to ESP. He's got a new signature LTD SH7ET. So 7-string with Evertune bridge. And the new Fishman Fluence pickups, which I've mentioned a couple of times, which are the ones that run on like a lithium ion battery. They're like USB rechargeable, but they work on stacked circuit boards around a magnet rather than coils. So you've got like a infinite amount of different possibilities that you can kind of set these pickups.
And you can charge them up with your phone charger.
Yeah, if you really want to.
Of course.
What I thought was quite cool is that actually they run off I mean, as an advancement to something that takes a 9-volt battery, the battery pack is actually built into the back plate. So okay. You don't have to put a battery in. So the back plate's slightly thicker, and that holds the battery inside. And then the pickups are connected to that. Yeah.
Oh, sounds bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
But, they, you know, it's just, it, once again, it's that thing, it's like Evertune, it's that sort of advancement of active pickups, because it does way more than what a standard active pickup does. But it's also got glow-in-the-dark side dots, which I thought was...
Yes.
And comes in see-through purple.
Yes.
Like, yes.
It was like, definitely like, oh, you know, we can do any colour you want. It's like, purple. Sure. Yeah.
Do it. Do it.
But not as bad, in my opinion, as the colour of the Lars Frederiksen rancid signature ESP SG in, they call it, oh, they give it a special name. It's like, well, it's camo satin, but I think they give it a different name. It's one of the worst looking guitars.
Are you talking about, it's called Danish camo? It's like a pixelated camouflage.
Danish camo.
Yeah, that is the name of, that's not exclusive to ESP, that's what you call pixelated camouflage. It's
is it pixelated? That's not pixelated.
Well, it's not quite, is it? But it's that sort of style, isn't it?
Because they used to do a pixelated camo for who was it?
I mean, I don't know why you think this is. I don't know why you think this is bad, Matt. That is one of the coolest looking guitars ESP I've ever put out.
I love Lars Frederiksen. That is a horrible guitar.
No, camouflage guitars.
What happens if you put it down?
Satin camouflage.
You lose it. What if you put it down in like
in a field?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
Lars Frederiksen has played SGs and Les Paul Customs for as long as I can remember.
So there's a bit of a story to that. He did play Les Paul Customs for a long time and got a bad back, so he could no longer play Les Paul Customs anymore, which is why he switched to... He's got quite a famous SG, which is 2 P90s with a Millwall sticker on it.
Yeah. He's a big Millwall fan, isn't he?
And now apparently he's gone to LTD. And,
wow, how about that?
Yeah, indeed. Go on, Matt, pick out maybe one more then to tell us about.
Matt, if you don't tell us about the Colt 86...
Oh, that is the one I was going to pick.
Yeah!
The Colt 86. Oh, I mean, you know, if you're listening to it now and you're in front of your computer, or, you know, you're watching it live, ESP Colt 86.
Probably the best guitar ESP have ever blown.
Blue over pink over white.
Yes.
It isn't, though. Is it those
colours? It's a swell finish.
Or is it just printed like that?
No, it's a swell finish.
That's not a swell finish at all.
No, it's not a swell finish. Relic.
They call it a swell finish.
It looks relics, but it's not, is it? That's going to be like printed like that.
Yeah. It's like the Truckster. Do you remember they did the cheap Trucksters?
The ESP Truckster.
Yeah. Where they, you know, applied a similar thing, where I think they, instead of like putting the finish on and then rubbing it back, it looks as though they don't do that, and it looks as though they like just spray on particular areas to make it look like they've rubbed it back.
Features the distinctive multiple swells of colour.
That's what someone in marketing, like you would say, to cover up for the fact that it kind of looks like we've relicked it, but we wanted to do it cheaply.
No, what do you mean cheaply? This is the coolest looking guitar. This is going to be gear of the year, 2017.
Green guitars, no green guitar has ever been cool.
Green is the best colour.
No green guitar has ever been cool.
No, this
so we
is
haven't actually
amazing.
Said firstly,
it's limited edition.
We firstly haven't said who it's for and what it is. So the Colt 86.
So let me go into it. So Colt 86. So basically in 1986, ESP were pretty unknown at that point. Vernon Reed from Living Colour started playing one, and he's had the same one since then. So as a kind of collaboration and a thank you, they've designed the Colt 86 in conjunction with him, based on his original ESP. So EMG SA pickups which are the single coils with an EMG 81 in a bridge, Floyd Rose ebony fingerboard, I think. With a maple neck. The oddest look known to man, but Vernon Reed does play very odd guitars, and he also has one of the most ridiculous guitar setups ever. If you want an enjoyable watch for what I would class as an ungiggable rig, have a look for the rig rundowns with him, because he uses computers and
then a random Supra
PG-99 and stuff like that. Like,
he's a... If you listen to... I mean, obviously, that is called the Colt 86 because of the Cult of Personality, their kind of biggest tune. And if you listen to the three guitar solos that are in that song, you actually hear some of the maddest guitar playing that you've ever heard.
He has a little Supro combo in his setup, which he uses for his clean parts in one song.
Yes.
And that's in his touring
rig. That's
what
you need. That's what you need. Talking about stuff you need, Joe Branton, tell us about the new Ibanez guitars released over the Christmas break.
Ibanez have released a ton of stuff, which is no surprise. Ibanez, obviously, every year, Ibanez seem to announce about 30 guitars. About 15 of them will actually go into production, and about 8 of them will actually hit the shops.
Yeah.
So it's such a weird business ethic, but they always do it. So yeah, some cool stuff, surprisingly, about sort of 12, 15 RGs.
Yeah, of course.
Standard. I'll talk you through some of the most interesting ones. I'll start you off with the most interesting.
Go on.
And then get worse and worse. Because no, I tell you what, I would build up, but I can't. I've got to talk about how awesome this is. Right,
Ibanez. That's not an RG.
No, it's not. It's a bass.
Go on.
Ibanez have released. This is going to be so hard to explain to the listener. Let me. Ibanez have released a 7-string bass. They've done that before. That's nothing new. 7-string bass.
Yeah, it's normal. You know, just normal.
But the low 3 strings are on a fretless neck, and then the higher 4 are fretted. So the frets themselves don't run the full way across the neck. So you get 3 unfretted strings and 4 fretted. The neck is actually 2 separate bits of material wedged together. So on the fretless bit, the fretboard is Purple Heart, and on the fretted bit, it's Rosewood.
Of course,
is that to get around the Rosewood restrictions? Oh,
yeah, probably. Well, Purple Heart's expensive, and this guitar is cheaper than you think. Then
it's also worthless.
the 4 fretted bass strings have 2 jazz pickups underneath them on the body,
so
but
ridiculous.
Those pickups don't stretch across to the other 3 fretless strings. Those 3 fretless strings actually have a piezo in under the bridge.
I've definitely mentioned a bass like that before.
Really? Okay.
Mentioned a bass like that
before. We might have spoken about
it. They should make a half-fretted.
Oh, yeah, you definitely
bass.
Have.
But
I didn't think anyone would ever bloody listen to you, mate.
If you're listening right now...
and you have anything to do with Ibanez.
Mr. Ibanez, you're listening to this right now. Just when Joe or Matt says something... Or even JRI, and so we suggest a guitar to you that sounds stupid. Don't make it.
No.
Don't make the things that we say, because we are messing around, and these abominations should not be anywhere near people's actual hands.
Honestly,
in the real world.
The listeners, they don't understand that we can't make any jokes, because people take so much stock in what we say. Our opinion is so valued that these things just get made.
And it turns out someone's made.
So I haven't even
probably
got to
the worst guitar
right.
ever.
No, whoa. This is the best guitar ever. This is Gear of the Year 2017. Anyway, I haven't even finished. There's more. Okay, it has a thumb rest that runs the full length of the body, so you can rest your thumb anywhere on it. Now let's talk about the tuning. Your lowest string is in the middle.
What?
Your lowest string,
okay, so
is in the middle.
So that means that the what you would consider the 4 highest strings, are standard tuning.
So the fretted strings are E, A, D,
G. So it's a bass.
Yeah. So the fretless strings, are.
Does it go up?
No.
Is it just A, D, and G again?
Yes, it's A, D, G.
Okay.
So you get no.
No low E fretless.
No low E on the fretless, where I would have thought...
How are you supposed to play this? How are they trying to sell this?
So it's like like a piccolo bass fretless and then a full 4-string fretted.
I understand, like, Ibanez aren't the best at, like, they bring out all this stuff, and I think a lot of the marketing doesn't necessarily translate to English or doesn't even appear in English. How are Ibanez trying to sell this? Like, what are they saying that is the intended application for
this
abomination?
Well, see, there's very, very little
That's what I mean.
They've actually provided in text about this instrument, other than to say that it is a hybrid instrument that, you know, will certainly encourage versatility.
encourage stupidity. How long before you buy one of these, by the way?
Their expression is the hybrid bass is the perfect choice for creative bassists who want versatility and style.
That sounds like you.
Looking at it, I can see that there's no style there.
So this was sent to me by the Ibanez purchaser at my guitar shop, and I was like, "We've got to get one." And he was like, "Well, I don't know, mate. They're very niche, and look at them. They're going to be really expensive. They're not really expensive." The price catalog came through shortly after that. They are £1,099.
I mean, that is quite expensive.
That's not a lot of money. You can't put a price on versatility and creativity.
You know what that is?
No, you didn't mention that both parts of the neck are also different radiuses as well.
Oh.
So the fretless...
How is that possible?
The fretless is obviously flatter than the fretted bit.
Of course.
How does that... So does it go flat on the fretless bit and then go up?
No,
It must go flat.
They must be at different heights.
It
can't just go flat and then taper off. It can't do, because if the lowest string is in the center, there has to be some camber to the fretted part of it.
Yeah.
So it would go flat, Matt. Then up and then down.
It actually does say that the fretboard is multi-level.
Oh!
So yeah, it will actually feel different.
I've got to buy that.
I can't not buy this.
I can't let this be an instrument that was made and not. The problem is, I will literally never be able to sell it. So it is a lifetime investment.
On the plus side, there is like about, I don't know, 40% more firewood there for when you finally realise that you don't want it anymore.
Do you reckon...
Sorry, Jay, go on.
I was just going to say, do you reckon you could chop it in half and sell the two sides individually?
No, I need a four-string fretless, mate.
Go on,
Matty.
They've also seemed to release a ton of basses where the body runs halfway up the neck.
The neck runs into the body. Yeah, that's been something they've had for a while. This idea on their fretless models of having like extended fretboard into the body. I mean, God knows what you'd use it for. But I think the SR series fretless basses are some of the best fretless basses on the market at that sort of price point. Way better than
they've got a hollow body.
Way
one
more
as well
comfortable
now.
Than. Oh yes, that is one of the other new releases. They have released a sort of copper burst single F hold piezo flat top SR bass, which is fretless as well.
I was going to say, Joe, you haven't come with a brand of the week this week, and we have promised, as one of our 2017 things of the podcast, we are going to do more questions in the main podcast, and we've got maybe 10 to 15 minutes more podcast to go. So how about we do Ibanez as brand of the week in the Patreon episode, and we'll talk about the rest of the things on here, because I really want to do more questions in the main podcast.
Can I just, before we do that, I'm not going to talk about an Ibanez thing here. I actually just want to mention something that we didn't talk about in ESP, the fact that they've actually put the Sustainiac humbucker in loads of models.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Didn't we talked about this?
Oh, sorry, it's not ESP, it's Schecter, isn't it?
Yeah, when we did the Schecter, Inspector episode.
Schecter Inspector. Yeah.
This is something that's come off of the chat. Matthew said that he saw Korn the other day, just in reference to the fact that we were talking about the new head signature, where he's gone to, he's betrayed Ibanez and he's now on ESP. Matthew said that he saw Korn the other week and he used exclusively Ibanez.
Really?
He used the gem and he used a he used the K7 for a bit, and he did say that there was there was a guitar that he didn't recognise, so maybe it was that ESP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But predominantly, he was using a Gem for
fantastic,
the whole set.
Fantastic.
So, there we go.
So if you want to hear more about the Ibanez range, we're going to carry on with that in the Patreon episode. I think we're going to talk about Shergold guitars as well, made an exciting comeback for 2017. We'll talk about that over on Patreon as well. But for now, let's do some of your...
questions.
Have you forgotten? Literally a goldfish brain, like what we were talking about.
Yeah,
first up, Corey says, looking for some feedback. I mostly play blues and southern rock, and I'm looking to get a delay pedal. I'm thinking it will be mostly used for short delays to fatten up the tone and maybe a little slapback. My research has led me to the MXR Carbon Copy. Should I go for that or look elsewhere? Matt Knight.
Do you know what? I love the Carbon Copy, but it's really dark sounding.
Yeah.
And if I think sometimes it can just be, if you're playing like a Les Paul, I think it can be almost too bassy. And I think it's good for some of the washier stuff, but I think if you just want like a little bit of delay in the background, maybe not. I don't know what I would really recommend. I mean, the little Ibanez mini delay pedal, I think, is really nice for that. Just for kind of slapback, I think it works really well. Is Joe reaching to what? Is
Joe's reaching for the...
Well, I was just thinking, like, it's really interesting how you say that the Carbon Copy is a great pedal, but it's a little bit too dark sounding. And, you know, they thought of that. They thought of that. There is, yeah, of course, the Carbon Copy Bright.
I'm not a fan.
You preferred it, didn't you, Mark?
I liked it. I found it obviously it's a bit brighter, but I think, like Matt says, the original Carbon Copy is very dark, and the Carbon Copy Bright does certainly give you, like, a little bit more edge to it. Do you know what I'm going to recommend? And it's one that we talked about a lot at the start of the year, and haven't talked about much since, really. The Casper
definitely.
From Cast Engineering. If you want something that does slapback, it's really good. It's digital, but it's voiced like an analog delay, and it will do all the kind of weird dive bomb-y type stuff if you want it to.
Yeah.
It sounds really good. Really defined delays, for slapback and for like retro sounding echoes, it's really good for that. Really good.
Yeah. The other one, and I mean, I didn't really want to mention it, but it's a pedal that I've come back to time and time again. Boss DD3.
Yeah.
I've had three now the last sort of like 10 years, and you know, I think Joe Bonamassa uses one as his main delay, Eric Johnson uses one, and because it's slightly older, it's not super bright like some sort of the more modern digital delays, and it just sits in the mix really nicely. I have mine set up just really subtly, just so it's in the background, and it works really well.
Shout out from me as well to the Line 6 DL4. I know we talked about it already this episode, but I'm absolutely loving having a DL4 back on board. I don't know why I didn't buy one sooner. They're just such a good delay pedal, and if you want slapbacks and stuff, I think there's like 5 or 6 different settings on there that would do it, because you've got like the multi-head delay, analog echo, tape delay. There's quite a few, and
that's actually what you need to do, Mark, for me to check is there's one on the Echo Pro, which I don't think is on the DL4.
Go on.
It is Echo Platter.
No, I definitely don't have an Echo Platter.
So I don't know if that was exclusive. I don't know if that came out after the DL4, and then it might have appeared on... You might have to check on the M9, Joe, and see if it's actually in the
M9,
M5. But it's based on an old Binson Ecorec.
Oh, nice.
I saw it, and I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's not on a DL4.
Yeah. So, I mean, I highly recommend the DL4, but also, yeah, Cast Engineering Casper Delay or DD3, something that is going to do very kind of... defined repeats for slapback. I mean, you want a bit of that kind of vintage tone, which is why I think the Casper is really good. Casper, you get a real nice mix of the kind of vintage voicing, but you get very kind of defined repeats if you want it on there as well. And it's quite a bit brighter than something like the Carbon Copy. So yeah, I hope that sorts you out, Corey. Alex says, anyone got any suggestions for slim patch cables? Joe Branton.
Slimmer patch cables?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're wanting something that's going to be slimmer than I think the most common ones these days are the Fender Custom Shop ones.
Yeah, which are very chunky.
Very chunky and hard to
bend
around. I mean, to be honest, I'm almost a bad person to ask, because I'm sure, I know that Matt gets it would probably be quite, and rightly so, pernickety about these sort of things, but I
just don't care.
So I buy the Rotosound packs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because they're long, they're different colours, so it's easy to sort of allocate them to stuff and remember what they're for if you've got a complicated setup. And you can get two different lengths, which is quite handy if you're, you know, doing anything with multiple tiers or having to get something over to the other side of the board. And they you can sort of, they twist very well, and you know,
and the jacks are quite small and stuff as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I mean, there are, like, Moore have done these sort of ones with no cable that are point to a point. And I think they're dangerous because when you press pedals, you're moving it down, you're affecting that connection. I think it's a sort of dangerous ground.
Never good. Man, what do you reckon? Patch cables?
When you say slim, I'm assuming, I don't know if you mean the cable or how close you can get the two plugs together.
Yeah.
If you're putting them next to each other.
Hoser do like flat topped ones.
Yeah, they look like pancakes.
Yeah, they look like pancakes, but they break so easily.
Yeah, they're not great, and they don't always bend, and some pedals don't, you can't put two close together either,
right.
So if you've got top mounting jacks, sometimes they don't sit in depending on how small the pedal is.
Yeah.
I mean, I've used George L patch cable kits for like 10 years now, and the only reason I've kind of stuck with those because I started with those and I've sort of just kept going because it's expensive to replace them all.
Mark, you used the Dario version of that, didn't you?
I did, and they are not slim in any way. They are bulky.
No, they're
jacks.
Chunky. The ones that I've been using that work really well are the Evidence audio kits. They're not cheap. I think it's like £80 to make up five patch cables. But the quality's good. They're rock solid when you build them. They're easy to put together. You know, that's it. It depends how far you want to go with it, really. Because if you're building a big board with a switcher on it and you've got like six loops, just to fill the six loops, you need 12 patch cables.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It really depends, but for me, you know, the slimmest ones in terms of the actual size of the end are the Evidence ones at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And when you think about it, you know, the Dodario kit is I think £50 or £50, and a Diago cable patch factory is not far off that as well, isn't it? Isn't it like 40, yeah. 40 50 quid? So
I've had some problems with getting the patch cables together though on those, on the Diago one.
You what, sorry?
I've had some problems getting the patch cables together on the Diego one. It's probably they're my least favourite, I think, okay. out of all of them. I love the George L ones, but it's difficult because it depends on how the cable in the actual end of the cable connects to the cable itself.
Yeah.
Things like the Diego ones have a small pin that goes into the hot connection in the centre of the cable.
Oh, yeah,
and some
yeah,
of them
yeah.
have a small bit of the cable, the actual hot bit, that goes into a small, like, female end.
Yeah.
in the plug, so some can be like slightly more solid connection than others.
That's how the Dodario ones work, and to be fair, I didn't have any problems putting the Dodario ones together. They're just quite
chunky.
Yeah,
you're basically building a Dodario cable, so they've got massive nitric style ends on them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Stevie says, hello fellow nerds, can anyone tell me if I have an amp that works on a UK power, will there be much of a problem taking it to the US? I know their plugs are different, but I'm more worried about power difference and if it would blow the amp kind of thing. Jay Cross? Matt Knight, you sound like you're ready to jump in.
Yeah, it won't blow it up. I just don't think it will turn on.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not like if you do the opposite and you bring a US amp here. If you bring a US, because the US run on 110 volts and the UK and Europe runs between 220 and 240. And if you bring any amp that is designed to run on 110 to Europe, it will blow up.
Bad times.
Yes. So you need to get a step up transformer. If you're taking your yep. UK amp to the US, you'd need to get a step up transformer. I used to play in a band with someone who had an amazing amp. It was a 300 watt all valve Sun bass head.
Sounded so good.
It sounded absolutely incredible, but it was super heavy, and he needed to carry around a step down transformer because it was a US one. And it was a complete nightmare, but it did sound really good. But,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's sort of neither here nor there. But yeah, it's just, no, No, don't do it. Don't
well,
do it.
I mean, it's not particularly dangerous to take your ramp to the States. It just won't work.
Well, for sure, yeah. Yeah.
But I would advise just borrow an amp if you can, because messing around with step-up and step-down transformers is just a nause, because like you say, they are big, they are bulky, and they don't always work particularly well. Like, I remember the amp that you were talking about, Jay, that Sun bass head, as well as the amp being a bit breaky, the step-down transformer was not the most reliable thing in the world either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, best avoided, I would say. Let's do one more. Oh, you got a question?
Yeah, I've got a couple here. Okay. If we've got time.
We've got time. Let's do one from YouTube, and then we'll do one for the Facebook group.
Okay. Nick wants to know if there is if we can recommend a pedal board efficient multi-modulation pedal. So he's looked
pedal
at...
pedal board efficient?
Pedal board efficient, so I assume probably something
small.
That isn't, yeah, something that's smallish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but although that said, a couple of follow-up points. He's looking at the Keeley Supermod or the Empress Nebulous, but wants to stay away from the Strymon Mobius because it looks a bit too complicated. So, if we're talking about pedals that sort of size, not like, doesn't need to be super
not tiny.
Small,
yes, we're not just talking about more mod factory.
Or, yeah. But you don't want to get. Don't want to go down the road of getting like an M13 or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like that.
But they're also not cheap pedals that he's talking about there.
No, not at all.
Matt, any thoughts?
It depends, because the Keeley Mod Station is quite nice. They are expensive though. If you're going down that route, you would almost, for me, just because you've then got more on it, go for a Strymon Mobius. I think for the extra 100 quid that you might already spend on top of the 300 quid, the Mod Factory, the Keeley Mod, is it Mod Factory? I don't think it's
the
called
Keeley
Mod
Supermod.
Factory. Supermod.
You're thinking of the
Eventide.
Eventide Mod Factory. Mod Factor.
Because the Supermod is 300 quid. Mobius now is, I think they've actually gone up. Actually, I think they're closer to 400. I mean,
so one of the
only as complicated as you want them to be.
Well,
to
yeah,
be honest,
so that was what I was going to say.
That, you know, it is effectively a case of you hit the A button, you turn it to phaser, flange, or whatever, and then your controls are on the front.
Yeah.
But for me, the winner still for pedal board size, efficient, small amount of presets, easy to use, Line 6 M5.
Yes.
You know, we've said it a million times before, but there are products that we keep going back to, and the reason we keep going back to them is because
they're
inexpensive, they generally work, and they sound
very good.
Well,
how much is an M5 now?
£85 quid? You could buy four.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
but we would be saying this is a great pedal if it was 150 quid.
Yeah,
we'd be saying
definitely
the same thing about it. So,
I think that because Line 6 are, you know, a lot of people equate them with like the Spiders and, you know, amps that don't have, or products that aren't held in such high regard.
Yeah.
But something like, you know, the M5 is just taking the sounds from the well-respected DL4, you know, MM4, what are the other ones, Matt? FM4.
DM4, and then the Verbzilla reverb as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the things that we all think are really good, and they're just putting them in one pedal. So, yeah, save yourself a fair bit of money, and you get some really, really solid sounds.
For less money than you would spend on a Digitech Trio.
Yes, yes. If you're thinking about buying a Trio...
Well, don't.
Yeah, just buy a Line 6 M5 instead. Completely different thing. So, yeah, there's some options there. I think what you've already mentioned are good options, but they are a lot of money. What were you going to say, Matt?
I was going to say there's a couple from Keeley that have come out recently. Like, I've got the Bubbletron, which is like the phaser, flanger, filter in one. They also do like the Dyno My Roto, which is a tri-chorus rotary and a flanger in one. And they're all great, and they're like nice value for money. But the problem is you can only ever use one at a time.
Yeah.
They're not as easy. You kind of find the one setting and then that's it. I think with the M5, at least you can kind of tap through like 24 presets, which I kind of like.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely super
useful. Because you're always
bound
to find a sound that you want, and then you kind of want to stick with it.
Talking about the Line 6 M5, let's do one last question. Luke says, I have a Line 6 M5. What's the cheapest MIDI switch controller I can buy to flick between the presets?
Uh-huh.
I've seen a Tech 21 MIDI mouse for £80, but was hoping for something cheaper than that.
Matt, do you remember I bought one off of you? What did you have? Do you remember I bought one for my M5 to do that from you?
For From me?
Yeah, it was blue.
Oh, did you buy the Disaster Area?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Disaster Area DMC2, but they're not. They aren't cheap because you'd have to import it from the States. The first thing I was going to say, because actually I remember when this question came up in the Facebook group, was I just went on eBay and just did a quick search for MIDI controller, and there's loads of old ones from the 80s that will still work absolutely fine that can cost you less than like 50 quid.
Yeah.
It depends on the size you want, because if you buy an old Behringer FCB1010, I think it is, they've got like 10 buttons on, and you could effectively program it however you want it. But if you want simple, just bank up, bank down, so preset up and down, and then that leaves your M5 free for on and off and tap tempo, the Tech 21 MIDI mouse is probably the best one to go for.
Yeah. But I would definitely try going to eBay, because, you know, there were a lot of MIDI compatible products in the 80s, and if you just want like a two button patch up and down, there's bound to have been some sort of keyboard foot controller or something like that that is just a two button MIDI controller. And you'll probably get one for like £10 or something. It probably wouldn't be expensive at all.
Because the thing with MIDI is that MIDI's the same thing. It's never changed.
Yeah.
It's still just transmitting very simple code. So, you know, you can buy a MIDI device from 30 years ago and it will still do the same thing to any brand new MIDI device. Because you can even buy like MIDI keyboards that are going to cost you 20 quid and they'll still transmit the same data in the same way.
So what you're saying is buy a £20 MIDI controller keyboard and just map the E and F to patch up and down and have that on a stand next to you on stage, right?
Just hit E and F.
Yeah, and that changes your patches up and down. Yeah, I'm into it. Anyway, so there should be some options there for you, Luke, and let's hope that you manage to find one that doesn't cost you £1 million. Shall we call it a day there, chaps? I think we've gone well over an hour. It's been a bumper episode for the...
We have, yeah.
It doesn't seem like an hour, does it?
Seems
like it's flown by.
Yes.
Well, so thanks for joining us for the first show of the year. If you want to hear more of this, you can join us at patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month, from as little as $1 a month, you can help contribute to the show. Get the show ad-free and early for $1 a month. At the $5 tier, you get access to the extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week, as well as the weekly mini-series that are going up. You can catch Branton's Ranton.
How long is the first one?
Each episode's about 15 to 20 minutes, something like that. So
the ones where me and Mark argued the most are longer.
Yeah. By the end, the episodes get long.
So you're getting an extra hour a week, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, we're going to be supplementing that with cool interviews and stuff. And then at the $10 tier, you become one of our executive podcast backers, like these people have.
Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mantra, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Gorrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Moog, Gravit, Conan Anderson.
You caught me out there because I forgot how the A-Team theme tune goes after the initial bit.
So did you just loop the first bit?
I just sort of looped it and then went... Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so thanks for all those people for contributing to Patreon. If you want to join in the conversation around Guitar Nerds, you can do that when we do the show live every week at 8 PM UK time on a Monday night, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos, or you can go to the facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can follow us on Twitter at Guitar Nerds and on Instagram, which Matt has been absolutely smashing recently, at Guitar Nerds as well. Join us on all the platforms, get fully guitar nerded up, buy the t-shirt, buy the mug, and we'll all have a real good time.
What theme tune do you think was better out of Airwolf and the A-Team?
I don't remember what the Airwolf one is.
Oh, it's really good. No, the Airwolf one's solid.
How's it go?
You put me on the spot.
I am, yeah. Well, you asked us what...
Surely if you can remember the A-Team and you can't remember Airwolf, that means the A-Team's
only
better.
Only because you sung the A-Team one just now.
And with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Gang.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.